You might like to open your Bible, if you would, to the book of Genesis and chapter 1. Genesis and chapter 1. Perhaps we can look to the Lord in prayer. And our Father, we open thy word, so deal with us in the light of our Lord, who is the Word become flesh. So thank you very much. Thank you very much to give us the help, to help us understand. And our God, we're going to thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. You will please note, in the light of everything, go with me over to Genesis in chapter 1. And just going back in the light of history and the light of the day in which we live, needing some extra help. Genesis chapter 1, picking up, please, in the light of God's creative days, verse 26. And God said, let me make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So, verse 27, God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Now, the wonderful, wonderful program of God, the plan of God, is for humans, Adam, Eve, and all humans. So, God, you're telling us the whole purpose is to have lots of humans, lots of males and females. And we're to have lots of males and females, and they are to be privileged. In what sense? They are to be the dominant ruler, the force, over all the dinosaurs and rhinoceroses and all creatures, huge creatures that make it so wonderful. If you just have all little pigeons, it wouldn't be very much. But to give you rule over such critters, that's something else. That's something else. To have dominance over such beast. Wow. Now, having said that, so that's the plan. And Adam and Eve are to have that wonderful, wonderful privilege. And therefore, male and female, they are. They can't be anything else. And in the process, chapter 3. And in chapter 3, you remember, God had, from Adam and Eve, are going to come all us human beings out from Adam and Eve. Therefore, and all of that's going to be because God created us, we've said it many, many times, to remind us that God created you, you're all God's creation, like it or not, ready or not, it is so. And it's unfortunate, as our declaration says it, but no one seems to pay attention to it. Now, in the light of that, so God, here we are, having this creative male and female, and God did that in such a wonderful way, and Christ died on the cross, the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. God did that. That's why anyone can be created. You couldn't be created without a Savior. Christ died to make it possible to create you. God isn't going to go and put anyone out that he's guilty of anything. God is going to save. Everyone is going to have the right to choose, but everyone that's born has the right to be saved. So, in the process, God created them, male and female, etc. And in the process If I can, over in verse 15, you remember the seed of the woman. I'll put enmity, hostility between 3 and 15. I'll put enmity, hostility between thee and the woman, and between thy seed, Satan, and her seed, our Lord Jesus Christ, coming from Mary. And it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. So the devil, anyway, skipping quickly. Now, having said that, so Adam and Eve believed the wonderful promise that God, they've sinned, and God, they believed the wonderful promise that God gave to believe them, to believe they sinned, they were guilty, they didn't mess around. They recognized they were guilty at square one. And they didn't have a big discussion about it. They just understood they needed, desperately. They lost the wonderful relationship to God, and they needed to have that restored. Therefore, verse 20, and Adam called his wife's name Eve. Eve. Eve has to do with to sustain Eve, because she was the mother, the sustainer. The word mother, support, verb from the verb to support, to sustain. That's what a mother does, supports, sustains. She would be the mother of all living, but there's no one alive. They have no idea, if you understand. But they believed somehow Mary and their relationship, Adam and Eve. Eve came out of Adam, and out of Eve going to come all Cain and Abel and all of them. And they believed that. That's what they did. They understood it for all humans. And as you know, Romans 5:12 and that, in Adam we all sin. We're all out of the seed of Adam. We're all found in Adam. That's why we can be saved. Now, hang on to that, if you would, in the light of that. So here we are looking, and God's going to go in his wonderful grace, and because of his saving grace, etc. And it says mother of all living. Living is the verb to be, to exist, of all the living creatures. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, if you would, and remember now, male and female, boy and girl, man and woman. That's the only way. Everyone has to have a mother. You can't be on planet Earth without a mother. That's the way it is. No matter how you cut the cookie, you have to have a mother. That's a real mother. That's what you have to have, contrary to everything. In fact, I don't want to get sidetracked here too quickly, but I think Sodom and Gomorrah is going to be a lot more comfortable in the lake of fire than our country is going to be at the moment. If we keep going the direction, we're making Sodom and Gomorrah look pretty good when we start legalizing, pushing to legalize all of us. Wrong direction, terribly wrong. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, as we proceed, so God, you're going to do, and because Eve, devil's going to go and cause Eve to sin, and Eve's going to cause Adam to sin. And in the process, all of the wonderfulness, that's the point, all of the wonderfulness of being human, mother, father, husband, wife, boy, girl, man, woman, all of the wonderment of that relationship, of those relationships, and to God is lost when Adam sinned and Eve. And all the rest of history is the outworking of trying to make everything, just reading stuff again, and process, I forgot what school system it was, eliminated Mother's Day. They eliminated Mother's Day because mother, you can't say mother. No, I don't know where else it'll be. Now, in the process of all of that, Adam sinned. And mothers and fathers and all of us are going to suffer for that. Human history is like that. It's important because I want to evaluate. I want to be able to see history objectively. I want to be able to see history realistically. I don't want to make believe. I don't want to be deceived. I want to see it where it really is so that I'm not looking to be encouraged. I'm not looking to have something we got to be happy. It's a special day for this and that. And whatever special days are, even like this one, it's only for a moment. Only for a moment. And we're going up and down, off and on. We can't stop it in any way. So it's only for a moment. That isn't what God intended, but that's what we've got. So God, I want to be able to answer that properly in my head and heart so that I can plow right through that without getting depressed, depleted, discouraged, whatever. I want to be able to go. Now, so in the process, Genesis chapter 3, and you remember the judgment, verse 16, unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception and sorrow, and thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be upon thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And all of that wonderful thing, as we studied that, all of that puts things into focus in an awesome way. Now, you now go with me just to the man. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hath eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake, because in God's mercy. In sorrow thou shalt eat of it all the days of thy life. So, and thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field, and in the sweat of thy face, verse 19, thou shalt eat bread till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. It's not very promising. Our whole human existence isn't. No, it isn't. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, if you would, so God, it hasn't gone well. And now my question in the light of Mother's Day and all of that kind of thing, if I can, picking up, please. Oh, and by the way, before we get that far, Galatians 4 and that, remember our Lord would say, God in his wonderful grace has sent forth his son, born of a woman, under the law. God did that. So God, the seed of the woman, Genesis 3:15, that's the plan. That's the plan before the foundation of the world. That's why we're all born on physical life, having physical life on planet Earth, so that we can enjoy that. Now, having said that, you will notice, please, Satan, chapter 3, verse 1, the serpents, God using the devil, the devil using the serpent, I should say, was more subtle than the beast, than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, etc., you shall not eat of every tree of the garden, and you know all that. Now, having said that, don't eat of the tree. Now, why did he pick on the woman? Why did he pick the woman? And what did the woman do? The woman went to Adam, to the man, and got Adam to do it. And without looking at all that in 2 Timothy and all that, God, what did you tell us? The woman was deceived, not Adam. Adam went in full force. Who is judged? Adam. But the woman is deceived. Hang on. So therefore, when they're both guilty, hiding behind fig leaves in the trees, in chapter 3, and picking up, if I can, in verse 9. And the Lord God, remember, afternoon walk in the garden, and the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? He didn't call unto Eve. He called unto Adam. Adam, start with Adam. Man has the top percentage. Everyone's man and woman, but man has the top. Therefore, in the light of that, God, going and having the deception. So when you come over to verse 13, 14, 15, 16, God judges who first? God judges the serpent, the devil. Then God judges Eve. Then God judges Adam. That's the sequence. So therefore, keeping that in mind, God, you're right on top of everything. So my question then is, in the process of all of this, here they are looking, and God, you're going to go, and I'm asking myself, in the light of all of that, in the process, I'm going to ask myself, why did Satan do that? Satan certainly did it. Now, why choose? Why is the woman? The woman is the key. She's the key. Not the man. The woman is. Woman is the key. Who has the greatest influence? The woman does. Woman has the power. Historically, from the beginning, they have the power. Now, how is that so? Now, hanging on, and remember, influence means to flow in and to flow out. Influence, to flow in and flow out. Influence, to exert influence, to change something. We have gunpowder was invented, and gunpowder has an awesome influence, not to the bullet, to the warfare. Gunpowder changed warfare. Easier. A ship with its great engines down below, turning, power. But that's nothing compared to the influence of the rudder, a singular little quiet, that's the word influence, to be quietly influencing the flow, the inflow, the outflow. So here's the rudder of the ship, and the rudder just turns so easy and quietly. And the ship is going to go in the direction of the rudder. Influence. The woman has the influence, and the devil knows it. Watch. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, if you would, so in going, without turning to every place, etc., thought was it to keep you awake. Over to Numbers, and we're just going to go through history. If I can, how did Balaam and Balak? Balaam was a prophet, and Gentile prophet, and he wanted Balak, the king of Moab, to curse Israel. And you can't curse Israel. Israel is God's nation, unless you do it in the right kind of way. And that's what Balaam knew. Balaam knew you can't just say cursed and God's going to do anything. No, the problem is Israel's going to have to go in their own heart. They can't get Israel from outside. You can't get the believing heart from outside. You get the believing heart from the inside. How do you get into trouble? In your own heart. You make the trouble. They can't get you from without. All things can come in, but they can't get in. The only way you can get you is your heart. The heart is deceitful and wicked. The heart. So therefore, Balaam, what did you say? What you're going to have to do, because I can't curse Israel, you're going to have to go and take your Moabite women and get them involved with Israel. Corrupt Israel, watch, you'll see it. Not with men, with women. And verse 1, and Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. Women, women, all the way, all the way, all the way. Let's go all the way over, if I can, over to Ezra. Ezra, back after the Babylonian captivity, and they're back in the land, and you'll see it all the way as you move through history, all of it's there, to see how do we corrupt? You corrupt people from within, they get involved in relationships that corrupt their relationship to God. Ezra chapter 9, picking up, please, in verse 1. And when these things were done, the princes came to me and saying, the people of Israel and the priests and Levites have not separated themselves from the people of the lands, doing according to their abominations, idolatry, even in the Canaanites, the Hittites, Perizzites, Jebusites, Ammonites, and the Moabites, and the Egyptians, and the Amorites. Verse 2, they have taken of their daughters for themselves and for their sons, so that the holy seed have mingled themselves with the people of those lands. Yea, the hand of the prince and rulers have been chief in his trespass, etc., etc. Keep reading. What's the problem? The problem is you got to get them. How are you going to get them? You're going to have to use what? Women. Women. Why? That's the power. That's where the influence is. Hang on. That's an awesome position. It would help today if men would be more men and women, women-womeny. How's that come on? Overview it to Nehemiah. Right after and at the same period somewhat, in Nehemiah chapter 13. You will note, please, if I can, in verse 26. Did not Solomon, king of Israel, this is Nehemiah 13:26. Did not Solomon, king of Israel, sin by these things? Yet among many nations was there no king like him, who was beloved of his God, and God made him king over all Israel. Nevertheless, even him, Solomon, did outlandish women cause to sin. Solomon, what was your downfall? Women, women, women. That's where the power is. Now, and going all the way over, you know, let's even go a little further quickly. In Revelation chapter 2, the church, what's the problem? You remember Jezebel has corrupted you all. Wow. Now, to really do it, so you have no question, Revelation, as you know, chapter 17. And when you go to Revelation chapter 17, Satan's awesome, awesome position, if I can. Revelation 17, talking about the ecumenical political system coming up in the tribulation. And in chapter 17, note what is the thing that stands out. What moves the whole thing forward in the tribulation? Verse 5, and upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon, the great. Now, how are you going to describe the enemy? The great mother of harlots and the abominations of the earth. She's the mother. Influence, women, power, huge power. That's what they have. God, the devil knows that. So I need to get that clear in my head so that I understand how it works, so that I can understand how it's going to go and as it's going. So I'm going to look to God. And in the process of looking to God and dealing with my head and heart, I need to understand it isn't going to come out good. No, the whole, Genesis chapter 3, the sorrow, suffering, dust of the earth. It's all things twisted, upside down, inside out. Like Isaiah 5:20, we call good evil, evil good, etc. Now, over we can to Luke chapter 12. Luke in chapter 12. And you want jumping through history. And you will notice our Lord dealing with the people. Now God, Genesis 1, it was to be a wonderful relationship. Humans were to dominate and represent God on planet Earth in such an awesome way. Father, mother, family, boy, girl, man, woman, that way. That's the way. Family. As the nation, as the family goes, so goes the nation. Nations. Chapter 12, picking up, please, our Lord, is going to help us. Verse 51. Suppose, 12 and 51 of Luke, suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth? I tell you, nay, no, rather division. What do you mean, division? Didn't you come to make everything nice? I did, but I got to fix it. I got to fix that which is wrong. Verse 52. For from henceforth there shall be five in one house, divided by three against two, and two against three. The father shall be divided against the son, the son against the father, the mother against the daughter against the mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. The whole thing is going to be, I came to what? Save whosoever's that would believe. The system is corrupt. It's all not good. I came to send a whosoever that would believe. That's wonderful. That's how we get in. Otherwise, we'd be caught up in our relationships and evaluating them and de-evaluating them and going, trying to make things come out. And where would we be? We'd be out in the ocean with our driftwood, with everyone else in their driftwood, and we'd be holding our driftwood, hoping it will sustain us instead of reaching up and getting into the God's wonderful lifeboat. Now, so therefore, it isn't God, you're going to have to do grace. We sang it, wonderful grace, God's wonderful grace. Over, if you would, to Exodus. Exodus in chapter 20. And you're going to recall the fifth commandment. Exodus 20 and in verse 12. Honor thy father and my mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth. So the God didn't change anything. It's just you've got to overcome it by God's grace, because you can't. That's how you get overcome and get saved, trusting God. So verse 12, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And the verse 5, the bridge, father and mother. If I don't understand father and mother property, I'm going to be pretty vague in my little head and heart. If I think all the dumb stuff today, I'm going to be confused in my heart. Well, where did I come from? I got evolution over here and materialism over here. I got all these things that I'm trying to get through, plus I'm being indoctrinated, depending on what's educational anywhere. You're getting caught up in it and the media and all of it. I don't know what I am. And someone told me that you could be 25 different things instead of man and woman. You'd be 25 different things. Wow. So I'm not going to get saved. I don't know. I'm father and mother. Where did father and mother? They're the bridge to the first four commandments. God, you created us, Genesis 1, Genesis 2, Genesis 3. And we understand you made the seed of the woman to save us. That's what you did. So therefore, God, father and mother, They represent, father and mothers could be terrible, it could be wonderful, isn't the issue. That's where I came from. I had to have a mother. I had to have one. That's where I came from. That's God's plan. Whose plan? God's plan. And I'm going to get, by way of my parents, thinking of that properly, to get to God by understanding my parents. First four commandments. Then I understand my relationship to humans, the last verse 13 to 17 in Exodus, our relationship to humans. I understand it. How? By understanding properly my relationship to father and mother and thus to God. Then I can handle the rest of the system. Now, having said, and you know, without turning there, over if I can, well, why not? We're going to go back that way. Go back over to Ephesians so you see it. In Ephesians, and if I may, in chapter 6, you will notice Ephesians 6, I'll read verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor, that's Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise. It's the one thing that God gives a promise to. That's how you're going to get there. You understand? Father, mother, you have to get there. That's how you're going to get to God. Understand? You just didn't happen. You came from mother. Why did you come from mother? Because it's God's plan, God's power, God's way to create you. Now, so having said that little bit in the light of that, if I can. Oh, and while you're thinking of that, over to 2 Timothy, adding to this, God, you're going to save a whosoever. So we aren't looking to get the, hang on, it's going to come out. Got to see it, though, if I can. Over to Timothy, 2 Timothy. And if I can, in chapter 3, a great discourse on the ills and aches of society, then and now, especially. Verse chapter 3, verse 1, 2 Timothy 3, 1. This know also, that in the last days, perilous, difficult, dangerous times shall come. For what the problem? For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient, unwilling, the word disobedient, unwilling to be persuaded, to be obedient, etc. Disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. So how's it going to be? You know, and little babies are cute. Don't get me wrong. And my father's a mother. The little babies are wonderful, little hands and all of those things, you know. And then they get a little bigger, and they're wonderful, but then they get a little bigger. Well, what happened to the wonderment? And they get a little bigger, and a little bigger, and then they get bigger. And they've learned to say no early on, and they've really developed it. And they get bigger and bigger and bigger. It isn't so easy, is it? Is it? You people are all women, men, boys, girls. We came. Weren't you a little nice, cute once? No offense to you. Once you were all cute, you see? But then you grow. And then it's a battlefield, isn't it? And today it's awesome battlefield. Today is. Like no other day that I've ever lived. Wow. It's a tough day. It's tough to be a mother. It's a tough job being a mother. It always has been a tough job. Remember years ago, you used to be 18 years old and you were all finished, ready to go to the woods and hunt bear and cook and build a house. You know, 18 years old, whatever. Boy, what happened? What happened to that, you see? What happened to that kind of life? Well, it all disappeared. Hang on. Now, so chapter 3, and in verse 13. But evil men shall reduce us and seduce us, shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. So, looking now, God, here we are. And God in the process, all of this, it isn't going to be easy. No, it's getting harder. It's a tough job. You know it. You mothers know it. Women know it. It's a thankless job, actually. It's a thankless job. Think of your own. Your mother is what? She laundries, she cooks, she cares for you in every way, all kinds of ways, day and night, and at cost of her own comforts. And she does that. But she doesn't get a lot of thanks. No, she doesn't. It's a tough job. But before you get to, that's a reality. It's tougher for them than men. But having said that, the Spirit of God's ministry is tougher than that. Because he's trying to get believers to believe and rest in his wonderful grace and mercy. And they fight him tooth and nail, just like young people growing up and getting older, fighting tooth and nail. So this God understands mothers. God understands being what it is to be unthankful, to be having no thanks, having no interest. You sort of just treat it as if it was owed to you, like the government. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, over if I may, while you're thinking of it. Now, on the other side of the coin, I gave you that side. I want you to see that, because I don't want to say, Jeanette's a mother. I think she is, wherever she is. That's my wife. And she's a mother. And I didn't see her all excited about Mother's Day. I didn't see her all excited about it. You know, and I'm not excited about it because I'm not a mother. And I'm not excited. And it isn't going to last very long, even when you hit Mother's Day, get a card and flowers and candy and whatever else, a trip to the moon or something, and get all these things. Wow. Wow. No. I understand. God understands. And therefore, God, I need to see that. Because I don't want to have pie in the sky you can never get. Be happy. Be happy it's Mother's Day. God bless you. I want you to be happy, though, a happiness that you can sustain. God meant it to be sustained. And we don't have that at all. So therefore over in Gospel of Luke, and chapter 1. And you will notice, please, remember Genesis 3:15, the seed of the woman. Of the woman, okay. So now, putting that together directly, Luke 1, verse 27. To a virgin, that's Mary, espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And it doesn't say, it says favored, highly favored, not above women. Mary is not above women at all. She's a woman that was highly favored, highly graced. Now, having that, go over with me, please, to Ephesians. She was special. She was given a special, special grace. Now, when you have that word grace, highly favored, you'll remember it. Over to Ephesians. I can't. And in Ephesians, I'm picking up In chapter 1, Ephesians 1. The word is used twice. We just read it in Luke, and now you're going to read it. The only other time is in Ephesians 1:6. The church, the body of believers, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted, that's the word, highly favored in the beloved Son of God, God's beloved Son. He made you highly favored. Mary is highly favored, giving birth by way of the Spirit of God to the Lord Jesus Christ, his perfect humanity. Now, so when I come to verse 6, the believing heart is highly favored, special. Now, God, how are we going to fix Genesis chapter 1? You had a wonderful plan, a wonderful future for humans, and you had to go and die on the cross to make all of it possible, and he did. Now, having said that in the light of that, over, please, to Galatians. And you will notice, remember now, you're highly favored. And you will need to note, if I can, in chapter 3, picking up, please, I want you to add another piece. When you, whosoever that gets saved is given a unique relationship to God, like Mary, highly favored, special, 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 special. Now, chapter 3, verse 26. You are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized, placed into, immersed into Christ, location where you're found in Christ, have put on Christ. By the way, verse 28, there is neither Jew there, nor Greek, Gentile. There is neither bond, nor free there. There is neither male nor female there. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. God, what did you do? What Adam and Eve and their sin and all of it through history, God, and did Israel get it fixed? No, Israel never got it fixed. Israel had the right to enjoy it, but they didn't in their unbelief and ended up in captivity in this situation today. The millennium's going to fix it, but not yet. So here we are looking, and God, what'd you do in the meantime? In the crucifixion, what did you do? The world, Jews, Gentiles, crucified you. They said, we do not believe, we reject God's saving grace. We reject Genesis 3:15. We reject the whole program of God. So how are we ever going to get to fulfill it? You can't without God. Therefore, God, what have you done? Your grace. In Christ, you have made us have, the church has a unique, special relationship. We're his body. And being his body, there's no more male nor female. We have a unique relationship to God. Whosoever in his body, liver, spleen, all of those things, we're part of the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. Privilege of all privileges. Favor of all favored. Acceptable, gracious, above all grace. God, you put us in your wonderful person in a very unique way. So what makes us super special? Because I'm a mother, a father, a boy, a girl, a man, a woman. No! What makes me special is my awesome relationship that you have made possible by way of Calvary's cross to yourself. That makes us special. Special indeed. Now, having said that, specialness indeed, now you say, well, translate that some more for me. Okay, Matthew chapter 12. And in Matthew chapter 12, may I pick up, please, in verse 46, 12:46. While he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. Then one said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren, half brothers and sisters, brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. And he answered and said unto him that told him, who is my mother and who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples. Now here they are in the house, all there, people, rooms are full as he's speaking to them. And their mother and his Mary is outside. She isn't believing yet, but with her, with his half brothers and sisters out there knocking on the door, because they're trying to get him out to them to save being embarrassed or something, and to get him out of there. And he turns to all those people. He sweeps his hand, as it were, in front to them. Verse 49. And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, behold, my mother and my brethren. Aha! I got to take that further. That's right. Verse 50. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father, which is in heaven, it is the will of God that you be saved. It is the will of God that you honor him, which is in heaven. The same is my brother and my sister and my mother. There's mother. There's mother. Mother, why did you go after him? Mother, the most powerful influence of all the humans, mother is, of male and female. Now, what are you going to do, God? I'm going to go in my grace. I'm going to bring whosoever's in to believe. And I'm going to give them a unique relationship to me that I have made possible in the wonderful Father, God the Father, the family of God. I'm going to help them to become related to me like a mother, like a daughter, a brother, a sister. I'm going to make them family of the Father. That's what I'm going to do. And that is what it's about. Otherwise, you're going to have to wait for the kingdom to have all the benefits as a lady. But God does it in a most unique way. Now, having said that little bit, over to Romans chapter 8. Well, no, I only got one place. Well, over to 2 Corinthians, that'll do it. 2 Corinthians, and you will notice, please, 2 Corinthians and chapter 6. And in 2 Corinthians, and by the way, you don't want to, God said, listen, if you want to get, you don't want God, you don't want God, back to Genesis 12, Luke 12, you don't want God to come your way. Mother and mothers and half-brothers are out there. Send him out so he doesn't embarrass us. We want him to be like us. God said no. He stayed in the house and said, you need to be like me. Now, God, what do I want? I want God on my terms to fit into my world as I see fit, as I understand it. That's the mother and father saying, come on out, God. God says, whoops. God said to you, to us, whosoever's, I want you to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and get saved and come to me and know what? To discover the awfulness of God. I want you to know me. I want you to become like me. You don't want me to become like you. You want you to become like me. That's what you want. Now, we already said mother, father, brother, sister. Now, God, here we are still on earth. And here's the females and the males, etc. 2 Corinthians, God, he got a word for such as us that now we're still on earth. How am I going to be a male apart from, you don't want to know. You don't want to know the answer to that. Not in these days. Now, how can I be something else? Galatians chapter 6, sliding over quickly. We're the temple of God, verse 16, sliding verse 17. Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you unto myself. And what, God? What will happen? I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons, and guess what, girls? Daughters. You'll be my sons and daughters. I recognize ladies and men. God recognizes it. So you don't have to sit there puzzled and try to, how am I going to be a man or something? No, you don't. God recognizes it. I will be a father. Mother, sons, and daughters. That's what I'm going to do. No. God, you're going to do that. And you'll remember years ago, a long time ago for me, I lived in Somerville, and Cambridge is right next door, up there in Boston. And in the process, Mount Auburn Cemetery, you know, is there in Cambridge. And it's an old cemetery, like wonderful old cemeteries. And in the process of that cemetery is, if you go in, look at all the different headstones and stuff. And one of them, not very big, just a regular little old headstone, little shrubs around it, and not much compared to the others. And that on that hand, it was a very expensive piece of stone either. And what's on this little stone? On that stone is a hand. And on the stone is a hand with a finger pointing upward. Upward, upward. And across the hand is the word mother. And that's all that's on the stone. A hand going up, finger pointing up. Mother, did you do the job? I did. You got to get to him. Genesis chapter 12, Exodus chapter 12, the fifth commandment to get you to God. Mother, you're the source. That's why the devil's after you. That's why the devil uses it. And that's why you got all the problems today in our country and elsewhere. Wow. Pointing up. That's it. And so what's my job? Make sure you understand, it isn't us. It's you, God. It's you. You need to know the God who created you, who died for you, who rose again and can save you. That's what you need to know. That's the message. Is it appreciated? No, who pays attention to a hand pointing upward? No, leave it on a stone. Ah, but you, dear friends, are living and we're pointing upward, pointing to God. That's what it's about. Our Father and God, we look to you to deal with our heads and our hearts, our homes and health and everything else. So God, you got to help us. God, we want to understand so that we can line up and enjoy 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, not in our circumstances or in anything else, but just because you're our Father, and we belong to you in a most special way, as sons, even as daughters. God, thanks. Thanks a lot. In Christ's name, amen.